Part 3.
Listen to the person talking and complete the information on the notepad. Write short answers of 1 to 5 words. You will hear the person twice. At the end, you will have 2 minutes to read through and check your answers. You have 1 minute to look at the notepad. The first one is an example.
Jørgen Tranberg is a farmer who lives on the Danish island of Samsø. He is a beefy man with a mop of brown hair and an unpredictable sense of humour. We talked for a few minutes and then, laughing, he asked me if I wanted to climb his wind turbine. I was pretty sure I didn't, but I said yes anyway. We got into Tranberg's car and bounced along a dirt road. The turbine loomed up in front of us. When we reached it, Tranberg opened a small door in the base of the tower. Inside, there were 8 ladders, each about 20 feet tall, attached one above the other. We started up. Above the last ladder, there was a trapdoor, which led to a sort of engine room. We scrambled into it. Tranberg pressed a button, and the roof slid open to reveal the grey sky and a patchwork of green and brown fields stretching towards the sea. He pressed another button. The blades of the windmill, which he'd switched off during our climb, started to turn, at first slowly and then much more rapidly. It felt as if we were about to take off. I'd like to say the feeling was exhilarating. In fact, I found it sickening. Tranberg looked at me and started to laugh. On the way back, he explained to me that once people on Samsø started thinking about energy, it became a kind of sport. Indeed, for the past decade or so, Samsø has been the site of an unlikely social movement. When it began in the late 1990s, the island's 4,300 inhabitants had what might be described as a conventional attitude towards energy. As long as it continued to arrive, they weren't much interested in it. Most people heated their houses with oil, which was brought in on tankers. They used electricity imported from the mainland via cable, much of which was generated by burning coal. As a result, each resident put into the atmosphere, on average, nearly 11 tons of carbon dioxide annually. Then, quite deliberately, the residents of the island set about changing this. They formed energy cooperatives and organised seminars on wind power. They removed their furnaces and replaced them with heat pumps. By 2001, fossil fuel use on Samsø had been cut in half. By 2003, instead of importing electricity, the island was exporting it, and by 2005 it was producing from renewable sources more energy than it was using. The residents of Samsø that I spoke to were clearly proud of their accomplishment. All the same, they insisted on their ordinariness. They were, they noted, not wealthy, nor were they especially well-educated or idealistic. They weren't even terribly adventuresome. "We are a conservative farming community," is how one resident put it. Tranberg told me, "We are only normal people. We are not some special people." Jørgen Tranberg is a farmer who lives on the Danish island of Samsø. He is a beefy man with a mop of brown hair and an unpredictable sense of humour. We talked for a few minutes and then, laughing, he asked me if I wanted to climb his wind turbine. I was pretty sure I didn't, but I said yes anyway. We got into Tranberg's car and bounced along a dirt road. The turbine loomed up in front of us. When we reached it, Tranberg opened a small door in the base of the tower. Inside, there were 8 ladders, each about 20 feet tall, attached one above the other. We started up. Above the last ladder, there was a trapdoor, which led to a sort of engine room. We scrambled into it. Tranberg pressed a button, and the roof slid open to reveal the grey sky and a patchwork of green and brown fields stretching towards the sea. He pressed another button. The blades of the windmill, which he'd switched off during our climb, started to turn, at first slowly and then much more rapidly. It felt as if we were about to take off. I'd like to say the feeling was exhilarating. In fact, I found it sickening. Tranberg looked at me and started to laugh. On the way back, he explained to me that once people on Samso started thinking about energy, it became a kind of sport. Indeed, for the past decade or so, Samso has been the site of an unlikely social movement. When it began in the late 1990s, the island's 4,300 inhabitants had what might be described as a conventional attitude towards energy. As long as it continued to arrive, they weren't much interested in it. Most people heated their houses with oil, which was brought in on tankers. They used electricity imported from the mainland via cable, much of which was generated by burning coal. As a result, each resident put into the atmosphere, on average, nearly 11 tons of carbon dioxide annually. Then, quite deliberately, the residents of the island set about changing this. They formed energy cooperatives and organised seminars on wind power. They removed their furnaces and replaced them with heat pumps. By 2001, fossil fuel use on Samso had been cut in half. By 2003, instead of importing electricity, the island was exporting it, and by 2005 it was producing from renewable sources more energy than it was using. The residents of Samso that I spoke to were clearly proud of their accomplishment. All the same, they insisted on their ordinariness. They were, they noted, not wealthy, nor were they especially well-educated or idealistic. They weren't even terribly adventuresome. "We are a conservative farming community," is how one resident put it. Tranberg told me, "We are only normal people. We are not some special people."
You will now have 2 minutes to read through and check your answers. That is the end of part 3.